Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God, defender of my cause. You set me free when I am hard pressed. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer.
You mortals, how long will you despise my glory? How long will you worship dumb idols and run after false gods?
Know that the Lord does wonders for the faithful. When I call upon the Lord, he will hear me.
Speak to your heart in silence upon your bed.
Offer the appointed sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord.
And in your name, so that we might see their
eyes, lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord.
You have put gladness in my heart, more than when grain and wine and oil increase.
I lie down in peace, at once I fall asleep. For only you, Lord, make me fall asleep.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from the third chapter of 1 John. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. We do not know, but what we do know is this. When he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know what he has revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. I shall begin with the previous verse, verse 35. The two of them told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, and see that it is I myself. touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. It was the third day after the crucifixion. Early in the morning, women brought spices to anoint the body of the dead Jesus. Mary thought the risen Christ was a gardener. That afternoon, two disciples on the road to Emmaus were met by a stranger whom they recognized in the breaking of bread. That evening, the disciples and others were gathered in the familiar upper room. That's the setting, that's the scene for the portion of the gospel we just read. It seems to me like a kind of how-to passage. How to experience the presence of the Lord in our lives, how to deal with our doubts and fears, how to find the answers we seek, culminating with an admonition. Let me suggest four words as pegs on which to hang our thoughts. Relive, recognize, re-examine, and relate. You may want to follow the passage that's printed in the bulletin. Relive is the first word. This verse begins, while they were discussing, Jesus himself drew near. And the context indicates that they were discussing what had happened on the road to Emmaus. Two of them had thought that Jesus was the one who would redeem Israel. Now that didn't pan out. Jesus was dead. They were going back home, disillusioned, depressed. The gospel says that Cleopas was the name of one. We aren't told the name of the other. Most artists and Bible scholars depict them as being two men. I like to think of them as being a husband and his wife. In Jerusalem for the Passover. The next day was the Sabbath. They couldn't travel then. Now on Sunday, they were going back to their home, suffering from a dream worn thin. The bottom had fallen out of their hopes and plans. It was over now, the passion, the sweat, the pain. Nothing seemed to remain. They were walking westward, the direction of the setting sun. And the light was fading from their own lives. A stranger fell in step with them, asked what they were discussing. Jesus always had and still has that knack of drawing out of us the things which hold us down and keep us fast. So it was that these disciples, these two, so quickly began pouring out what was troubling them, how the one on whom they had pinned their hopes had been crucified. Then this stranger took the scriptures and pointed out that the Messiah would have to suffer before entering into his glory. They heard what he said, but didn't really comprehend. They got to Emmaus, and Luke tells us that the stranger made as if he would go further, continue on his way. They invited him into their house. When we invite Jesus to our homes, he comes. They sat down at the table, perhaps not much to eat, no 7-Eleven across the street. They broke bread together. And in the breaking of bread, they recognized who he was. This was Jesus who had been crucified, was raised from the dead, and was alive. They were surprised with joy, and then suddenly he was gone from their sight. That very hour, the Bible said, they rushed back to Jerusalem with this deathless news of a living Lord. They went to that upper room where the group was gathered, and they began pouring out their God story, interrupting each other, words just tumbling out, telling how their hearts burned within them while he was with them on the road. They relived that experience. And as they did so, Jesus himself drew near. That's still the way to experience the presence of Christ in our lives. We relive an experience that we've had, a time when the Lord seemed so real, nearer than breathing, closer than hands and feet. We think about this and we realize it's a reproducible experience. When I say my prayers at night, almost every night I say a little prayer I learned as a child, or maybe say again the words of a little chorus. And as these words flow through my mind, I experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. We relive some time that we have felt so close to the Lord. And as we focus on that, Jesus himself draws near. The second word is recognize. They were filled with doubts and fears. Doors were shut for fear of the Jews. Maybe they too would be crucified. And then Jesus came to them and showed them his hands and his side. He had been crucified, but now he was alive. He had been raised from the dead, overcoming sin and even death itself. For us in our personal lives and in the church, sometimes there are those things which loom so large and press down upon us. We have doubts about this. We wonder about that. We think how significant this is or how significant that is. It's when we focus on what really counts, the crucified, risen Lord, that these things fall into place, and we have a new perspective. I like that chorus. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Recognize who he is. There was a little blib in the Lutheran issue or two ago about a Pastor Patrick Siegler going to a new parish, a Zion Lutheran in Madison, Wisconsin. He was preaching his first sermon. He stood up to preach when his young son slipped out of the pew, came down the aisle and tugged at his robe. Pastor Pat didn't know what to do, but he paused for a minute and looked down, and his son said, "Daddy, we're at a new church. Tell them the one about Jesus who was dead and God brought him back on Sunday. They may not know that one." Everybody needs to know that one. Recognize who Jesus is, and as he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The third word is re-examine. Notice in the passage, while he was there with them, he opened to them the scriptures. And he pointed out that in the law of Moses and in the Psalms and in the prophets, there were those things which spoke of him, the Messiah. I know there are those Bible scholars and others who say that it's wrong to read into some of those Old Testament passages things the writers didn't understand, didn't plan at all, but God planned them as he inspired them to write. And so it is, in my understanding, that from Genesis Revelation. The Bible brings us the truth of Jesus Christ, who was crucified and was raised from the dead. That's what it's all about. The Bible is just a book like any book, ordinary words, ordinary paper. But as we read these written words, the living Word comes to stand before us with his love and his grace and his forgiveness and his truth and his life. I read one time about a team in vaudeville called Maskelyne and Cook. Maskelyne was a chalk artist, and he would have a large screen of some kind on the stage. He'd sketch a picture of a girl in a swing. And as he was doing this, Cook would be talking to the audience. And then Maskelyne would take his chalk and would fill in the color, a lovely blue dress for the little girl in the swing, giving her nice blonde hair, some green leaves on the tree. Made a quite impressive, lovely chalk drawing as people looked at it. And then the lights were dimmed a bit, and Maskelyne stepped to the side, and Cook went over to that drawing, took the little girl by the hand, and she got up out of the swing, and they walked together to the front of the stage, bowed, went back, the little girl sat in the swing, turned the lights up, and there again was the chalk drawing. Now, of course, this was some trick in lighting, you know, maybe pulling up the one screen, and there was, of course, a live girl in the swing. I don't know how it was done. But I'm trying to make the point that here in the Bible, these words, as we read them, it's almost as if Christ comes out from wherever he is, stand before us. Re-examine the Scriptures in the midst of doubt and fears, just as Jesus took the Scriptures to bring comfort and strength to them. So you and I, as we read the Bible, re-examine the Scriptures, have that experience. The fourth word is relate. The last part of the verse in today's reading, you are witnesses of these things. A witness is one who sees and tells others what he or she has seen. Think of it, this little band of disciples huddling together there, afraid, and then when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and these people who never had a lesson in their life, had no influence or wealth in earthly terms, nothing like that, went out courageously, joyously to win the world for Jesus Christ. They tore the rafters from the Roman Empire. They turned the world upside down. In 300 years, Christianity was a religion of the empire itself. They were witnesses, as Peter said, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Those things which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which our hands have handled concerning the word of life, those things we declare to you. They were witnesses. I grew up in Hanover, Pennsylvania, 7 miles from the Mason-Dixon line, the border with Maryland, about 40-some miles from the city of Baltimore. Years ago, there was a Catholic priest in Baltimore named Father Tabb, and he'd write little articles that appeared in the paper. He told one time about sitting by the window of his study, an upstairs window. He looked out, and there he saw a boy bouncing an air-filled rubber ball between the open palm of his hand and the sidewalk. The ball hit a rough place in the sidewalk, darted out into the street. A truck came along on those dual wheels, ran over the ball, crushed it. The ball kind of went to the side, and the boy picked it up and stood there, tears in his eyes. Father Tabb went down, comforted him a bit, went back to his study and wrote these words. A little boy of heavenly birth, but far from home today, came down to find his ball, the earth, which sin had cast away. O Christians, Let us one and all join in to get him back his ball. You are witnesses. You are to see and to tell others the good news. I called it a how-to passage. How do we experience the presence of Jesus in our lives? We relive some past experience when he seemed so real, and then Jesus himself draws near. When doubts and fears assail us, we recognize the wounds in the hands and in the side, and know that this one who was crucified was raised from the dead to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we seek answers, we re-examine the Scriptures. As John writes, these things are written that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you may have life in his name. And the last word, relate. We tell others the old, old story of Jesus and his love. That little boy, you see, was right. Maybe they don't know this one. And if they know it, they will want to hear it again and again.